Hey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? Mm-hmm. I like the playoffs. Mm-hmm. No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play out. Play on, play out. Yo, Trey, drop the verse.
It's going down, face of Black Street. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, a dog couldn't catch me. Say out. Tell me who could stop with Dre making moves.
In case you didn't know, this is Sports Medicine. Brought to you by Gateway Buick GMC. We just had Hockey Sense. Keep that music going. I like having music underneath us. Of course, Hockey Sense brought to you by MTC Truck Driver Training and Gateway Buick GMC. There's something about music, Dr. Rick Lehman, that just kind of gives you a little extra oomph.
I agree, and I think for sports medicine, this is the kind of music we should be playing.
We're playing it right now.
No, I couldn't be happier.
I mean, I don't know what Dr. Rick Lehman, I don't know what he's got going on today. He's got a big jug of beet juice that he brought in. He's drinking his beet juice. He's offering it to everybody here. Nobody's taking him up on it. And he's got some Daily Energy Nutrient Booster powder that you put in your beet juice, but I'm reading that the nutrient powder, Doc, already has beets in it. So you're putting beets in with beets.
You can't have too much beets. This is turmeric and black powder and tar cherry juice.
And turmeric, of course, is an Indian spice, very common in Indian food, very common Indian flavor, and it's very good for your immune system, correct?
Very, very good for it. It's an anti-inflammatory, very, very good for you. So if you eat a lot of curry foods, you eat a lot of Indian foods that have turmeric in it,
yeah,
your breath's going to stink, but you're going to be healthy.
That's not necessarily true.
Well, it could be. It might be.
I mean, you just took a shot at the Indian food.
No.
I mean,
no. Hey, look, I eat it all the time, and it can smell.
Well, we got an issue there with his mic. Are we okay? We'll get that corrected here. Again, we're live at the Slider House here at the corner of McKnight and Manchester. Of course, the Slider House is where we come each and every week for Hockey Sense and Sports Medicine. Try that mic now.
Yeah. Test, test, test.
There we go.
Is it all right?
Yeah, now we got you. So how often do you drink beet juice?
As infrequently as possible. My buddy Ryan Barban brought some, and it does help me bike, I'm not going to lie, but I'm not a fan of the taste.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could do something to mitigate the taste, I probably would be a little bit happier because it is really, really good for you.
Yeah, you don't think it tastes good?
I mean, it looks
great.
You want to try it?
No.
Okay.
I don't like beets.
Yeah, I tried to get eight people to drink it, and not one person would taste it.
Yeah, you're not going to find many people that take you up on that,
juice. Not yet.
I got to ask you this because, I am a world-class athlete, and I've suffered several injuries, right?
You have.
And I have a pulled hamstring right now.
You said that.
Yeah, it's maybe a strain, maybe a pull. I've read it online. So I diagnosed myself actually originally with a pull, but now it's a strain.
All right.
But it's the pain was so severe at one point that it was making me feel nauseous and sick and fatigued and tired. Is that normal?
Well, when you pull your hamstring or you have a significant injury, let's say you have a bad knee injury, it's not uncommon for people to throw up. They get so the pain is so intense, and the next step is you pass out. I mean, that's just sort of the trend. So I would tell you that having that metal taste in your mouth that I'm going to maybe be a little bit sick to my stomach is pretty common when you have a bad injury.
Yeah, and this is a bad one, Doc.
Well, and you don't have anything but terrible injuries and miraculously recover. So all in all, we're good.
Well, I broke my fingers last year playing softball. And I was telling the guys because they all remembered, how I broke it and whatever. I mean, Jamal Mayers, who does the show here with us during hockey season, he was there at that softball game and, still will not play it down because I slipped out of the batter's box. That's how I broke my fingers. But they were broken for, 8 months, 9 months. They wouldn't heal.
That's terrible.
So this hamstring injury I'm dealing with, again, running out of the batter's box. When you're getting older, you're playing softball, you're not necessarily getting there a half hour, you're not warming up, you're not stretching, you're not really getting yourself ready to go. So you hit the ball, and all of a sudden, your body does a movement that it's not used to doing, and you're just exploding, because that's what I do. I explode out of the batter's box, and my hamstring, I could just feel. It wasn't like a pop or anything like that, but instant pain.
Well, so there's a message here for all of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go out and you're going to play softball, before you start drinking and doing everything else, warm up a little bit. Stretch,
yeah.
Jog a little bit. you know, maybe run a 20 or a 40-yard dash and kind of ease into things a little bit. You're not 16. And that first step out of the batter's box always is problematic. This is no joke.
First step out.
Yeah, because you're going to try to explode. I mean, you don't explode, but mm-hmm. you try to explode. And what ends up happening is the hamstring contracts, the tendon gets pulled, and the next thing you know, you get a severe pain in the back part of your leg. And, you know, it could take 6-8 weeks to get better. So these are problems.
My next at bat, I got a triple.
Really?
With the pulled hammy. You know, there's a guy I know, like, I'm not softball guy. I'm not even close to being a softball guy. Softball guy really just kind of scares me. Like, I know a guy who's really into softball, you know, and he's the guy where you say, like, hey, how was your softball game last night? And he's like, I went 5 for 6, 2 doubles, a home run, a triple, a single, scored 4 runs, threw a guy out from second, gunned a guy down at home. But I'm like, okay, he doesn't stop, right? Like, knows all his stats. And then he was in a walking boot. So I'm like, what kind of softball game is this? Then he's in a walking boot, you know? So I don't take it to that level.
No, you know, some guys are serious, and there's a lot of guys in my practice who could actually get paid to play on softball teams on the weekend.
Doc, you should see how far they hit the ball.
I mean,
some of these guys, I mean, no problem hitting home runs to deep center over and over. We play at Kirkwood, and it's like a decent-sized field, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and they did this, I mean, nonchalant, easy swing, and they consistently hit home runs. It's amazing to me how guys are able to do that, you know?
Well, no, I, again, I've got, you know, probably 8-10 people, and this, they literally augment their income by playing, and then they'll go play a softball tournament to get paid for every game.
Yeah.
You know, they're quote-unquote ringers, but they're obviously very good. We're good baseball players, mm-hmm. and they just crank the ball. And you know what? In softball, I hate to say it, you know, the fielding isn't as important. If you can just yank a home run 2 out of 3 at-bats, you're valuable to a team.
But if you can play defense, you have a chance. I mean, if you can play defense as a team, you have a chance to win virtually game in and game out. Now, the treatment of a hamstring injury, of a strain or a pull, and this is where I always get confused, is heat versus ice, not knowing when to apply ice or when to apply heat.
So you want to start out, once you pull your hamstring, with ice in your hamstring and not stretching it, because that's just going
to Don't stretch it.
Right, not that's going to make it worse.
Even for a strain or a pull.
It's a fallacy. You know, you've just strained it or stretched it too much, and now you're going to stretch it some more. That makes sense.
I agree.
So you want to rest it. You want to ice it. You want to take a little anti-inflammatories. And you may want to get a little Zostrix over the counter, which is basically a topical. And those things really do calm it down. And then you want to wait 2-3 days. Then you want to start applying heat and then gentle stretching, very gentle stretching. And then if you're not better in a week or 10 days, you know, really need to go see your doctor. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've seen where they've had hamstrings, pulls off the bone, the tendon, and we end up fixing them or putting them on crutches, et cetera. So all hamstrings aren't created equals. Yours is obviously the worst anyone's ever had.
Oh, for sure.
But generally, you know, they can heal in a week to 2 weeks, and then it's probably not much. But if you have a true bad hamstring injury, it's going to take you 6 months.
Yeah. You know, my biggest fear in life – not my biggest fear, because I've got a couple of them. But as I get older, and if you're playing sports or whatever, is the Achilles injury. That is the one injury that scares the hell out of me. Because if you do rupture an Achilles, and knock on wood, I mean, everybody driving around right now, everybody knock on wood together. Ready? 1, 2, 3, everybody.
Everybody.
And because you're talking long-term treatment, long-term healing process, surgery, the whole nine. I mean, that just completely disrupts your life.
Well, it is a terrible injury, and it's a worse injury, you know, if you're an offensive lineman or a D-back or somebody who has to make a living pushing off. And it's a terrible injury if you're a golfer, because walking up and down the hills, you know, trying to get to your ball, even if you use a cart, you know, walking up to the green, it's very difficult. And it's a long injury to heal, and it's a long injury to rehab. So, yes, Achilles injury is particularly tough, better than it was when I started out 30 years ago. You know, because now we only cast them for a week or so. We start therapy right away. We start weight bearing right away. But I will tell you that anything you can do to prevent tearing your Achilles, you're on the right track.
All right, we got a lot of stuff we're going to get into, including coconut water. I want to ask you about coconut water. How many benefits are? What's the real benefit of drinking coconut water? Is it as good as what people say it is? The Mediterranean diet, Doc, is a big fad right now. Is it truly worth all the hype, or is this another Atkins and all these other the South Beach diet, which maybe you've done because you're from the South Beach. And you should be very familiar with that. We'll get into that. Also, the danger of leaving your kids in a hot car. And the amount of deaths we're seeing right now is
crazy. Insane.
It is crazy. And it's very serious. Very serious.
It's very serious. And these deaths are on the rise. And, I mean, to me, I say to myself, how could someone leave their child in a car when it's 100 degrees out or 90 degrees out? But it happens all the time.
But you know what? Sometimes, you know why it happens sometimes? Sometimes you forget your kid's in the car.
Absolutely. And you're thinking about something else.
You know that happened to me once?
What?
So we were all out to dinner, and my family, we all went together in one car. But we met some other family members and whatever. So after dinner, my family comes back to my car, and they say, hey, we're going to go with so-and-so, another family member of mine, and we'll meet you back at the house. Well, I didn't realize that my wife had put my little baby in the back seat. Now, thank goodness it was like, you know, 55 degrees this day or whatever, 50 degrees. I mean, so it wasn't a hot car or whatever. But I took the nice drive home, took the long way, got the music going, a little bit of sunroof and whatever. And I get home, I just go inside, and I'm just hanging out inside. They all come home, like, hey, where's the baby? I'm like, what? Had no idea. Now, it was only a couple minutes. It wasn't like a half hour, hour and a half. And again, it wasn't a hot day. But I think all the time, what if it was? You know? So, there's never an excuse for it.
But it happens. It happens.
And I think there are irresponsible parents who... There are irresponsible circumstances and behaviors that lead towards it, whether they're abusing drugs or alcohol or whatever they're doing at the time. And sometimes they go into a store and they just leave the kid in there and knowingly leave the kid in there. But I can firsthand understand how you could make that mistake. I like to think of myself as a pretty good parent, and my wife is a pretty good parent as well. I would never intentionally do that. But it did happen for a minute or two.
Yeah, but, you know, and that can happen. I think the bigger issue isn't that, because I think you figure it out and you're like, wow, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah.
Where's Harold? The bigger issue is...
My kid is not Harold, by the way.
The bigger issue is to say, I'm going to go in and I'm going to run in, or I'm going to go have a quick drink and, you know, so-and-so will be okay in the car. And then you kind of just, you have two drinks you forget about, or you work all day. So I think that happens more than you think. You know, they knowingly leave the kid in the car. They think they're going to come back in 5 or 10 minutes, and then they get distracted, and, you know, they have a burger and some sliders, and the next thing you know, kid's still in the car, and it's 100 degrees out.
And it doesn't have to be 100 degrees, does it?
No. And little kids need air circulation, and the car is probably 15 to 20 degrees hotter than it is ambient temperature, and the longer it goes, even if it's kind of decent out, it's going to get hotter and hotter in the car, or cooler and cooler in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So the winter has the exact problem equally.
Yeah,
it gets colder, and that's a big issue.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, these are real issues.
Yeah, and there's parents out there who, you know, when you're leaving your kid in the back seat and going inside the bar and hanging out, that's not a good. You know, there's no excuse for it.
Right. Well. That's a terrible. That's a bad way to look at things.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No.
I mean, that's not smart. But again, mistakes are mistakes. But there are avoidable mistakes for sure. This has to be one. But you have to be very smart. Don't think that your baby can survive even 60 seconds.
No.
When it's 95 degrees outside.
Right. You know, never leave your kid in the car. And what you have to do is you have to get into the habit of always looking in the back seat, which sounds really kind of trite.
Mm-hmm.
But if every time you say to yourself, I'm going to look in the, you know, you look right, you look left when you make a turn or cross the street, same thing. You're going to look in the back seat before you get out of that car. When you get in that car, that's not going to happen. And that has to be ingrained in your brain.
Yeah. You got to have that ingrained in your brain for sure. So, again, this is very serious, and it's going to continue to be serious here in St. Louis. It's hot through the end of September.
No, there's no question about it.
Even some days in October it gets hot.
And again, like you said, it doesn't have to be that hot. And then it's time, you know. I mean, if you inadvertently leave your child in the car for 3 minutes, it's one thing. If you leave your child in the car for a half hour, I can tell you they're going to spend a few days in the hospital, and there's going to be an issue.
And just a few numbers to throw at you. On average, 37 kids die each year after being left in a hot car. And as of July 31st, the number of kids across the U.S. who have died of heat stroke which is essentially what they're dying of, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're left in the car, it's
heat
stroke.
They're dehydrated and they get heat stroke. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's been at a record high. This year, 29 have died of heat stroke after being left in a vehicle. That's more than at this point in previous years, according to different studies that are out there. 11 of those deaths were reported in the past week alone, Doc.
Right. Well, it's 108 degrees, 106 degrees. So when there's a heat wave, you know, leaving your kid in the car for a short period of time doesn't work. And if it's, you know, if it's temperate out and you leave your kid in the car for a half hour, you know, you're probably fine. But when it's 100 degrees or 95 degrees or 90 degrees, you got a short window. And kids don't dissipate heat like adults. So you might be able to sit in your car for an hour and be fine. Mm-hmm. But an 11-year-old can, or a 7-year-old
can. Well, I can hardly sit in there anyway when it's 90 degrees. But I mentioned 29 this year as of July 31st. The previous record was 28, and that was back in 2010. And they ended up with 49 deaths, heat-related car deaths, for the year back in 2010. They had 49, Doc. So, again, be very, very careful, and do not. And same thing with pets. You know?
No question.
Same thing with pets. Yeah, are you a dog person?
We have two dogs, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you have two of them, that's right.
Yeah.
Your dogs are like crazy. Like you have like a long driveway, but like they're like waiting for you before you even get to the edge of the driveway. And you think they're going to like attack you. They have like a vicious sound to them, but they're not vicious, are they?
No, they're very friendly, but you know, you want your dog to bark if somebody comes up.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why you have a dog.
Do you have the invisible fence or no?
Yeah, we do.
You think that's cruel to the animals?
The invisible fence?
Yeah.
No, the dogs are smart. They don't go near the invisible fence.
Does it happen once, though?
It happened to me. I had the collar on my hand.
What?
I got the stink shocked out of me.
Oh,
so,
my God.
You know, yeah.
How bad did that hurt?
I didn't like it.
Why'd you do that?
I had the collar on my hand, and I was trying to figure out the fence so I could walk the dog up to it.
Is that what they tell you to do? The human has to be the one to find out if it works or not?
Well, it makes a clicking noise, and then the dog, once it hears a clicking noise, it walks away. It doesn't get shocked. So what ends up happening is, you know, if you got the thing in your hand and you inadvertently aren't paying attention, mm-hmm. and you walk through the fence, you're going to get shocked.
So you get shocked when you cross the line. What about when you come back? Does it shock you again?
Of course.
It does?
Yeah.
Well, then the dog is going to be scared to come back.
First of all, our big dog runs so fast, through it so fast, I don't think anything happened. Big mm-hmm. furry thing.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I don't even think it. The littler dog, which is older and doesn't have as much fur, never goes through the fence.
Okay.
Doesn't get near the fence. The big dog, which is younger, it's a Burmese Mountain Dog. They don't even take a hitch going through that
thing. They don't even go close.
Couldn't care.
So they know it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I had a dog for a number of years, just passed away recently, a white German Shepherd. Loved to be outside, never needed a leash. I mean, I could walk down the busiest road, Doc, and it would just walk right with me. It was crazy. We'd get to the end of the street where there's like a red light or whatever, it would just sit down on its own, just sit.
Dogs are smart.
It was like a service dog for me, you know? Take it into restaurants. But so it was like my own little service dog. But I never had the electronic fence because I didn't feel like I needed one. But all it takes is that one time when they see a squirrel or a rabbit or whatever, and they just cruise out in the road, and they're getting hit by a car. It's got to be very, very careful. So take care of the pets, too.
Yeah, and your point is well taken. We got off on a little tangent.
Yes.
But if you have an animal and it's sitting in a car and it's 100 degrees,
yes.
You know, that's not going to work either.
All right. Yeah, no, you're right. You're 100% right. All right, Gateway Buick GMC, Doc, is our proud title sponsor of not only this show but also Hockey Sense along with MTC Truck Driver Training. But Gateway Buick GMC is our title sponsor of this show, Sports Medicine with Dr. Rick Lehman. And whenever you think about different companies out there, Doc, whether it's a car dealership, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a doctor, a surgeon like yourself, you always know or think about what separates this company from the next. And that's why, you know, when I think about Gateway Buick GMC, I think of everything that they do better than everybody else.
I agree.
You know?
I totally agree.
So, I mean, it's like that's what separates them. What they have going on right now, these deals are incredible. They have these back-to-school sales right now, and the deals are as hot as the weather. So you can't even leave this deal inside the car, you know? You don't know what's going to happen to this deal. But they're talking about leasing a brand-new 2017 GMC Terrain for as low as $139 a month. Are you kidding me? $139 a month for a GMC Terrain? A 2017.
And those cars are beautiful. I mean,
they are absolutely
beautiful.
They are beautiful. See Gateway Buick GMC in person to shop if you qualify, or just see if you qualify. And for the details, shop like a pro And you can shop online as well, stlouisbuickgmc.com. You can call them directly, 888-865-9419. Again, 888-865-9419. Gateway Buick GMC is located in Hazelwood, Missouri, right at there at the corner of I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. You can't miss it. But it's not just the GMCs, Doc. It's also the Buicks. The Buicks are very, I don't want to say underrated, because I think most people have caught on by now how nice these Buicks are, but there used to be a perception. And I think with some of their advertising campaigns now, they've kind of shut the door on the perception that Buicks are for old people or whatever. That's no longer the case. These are some beautiful, beautiful cars.
Absolutely. And if you get in one, they're amazing. I mean, they got all the bells and whistles. The insides are plush. You know, it's not an old person's car. In fact, it's a family car.
Yes.
And the cars are fast. Mm. And the styles of the cars are beautiful. So you're right. Back in the day, you know, you kind of had this perception of a blue-haired lady driving a Buick. That's come and gone.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I have a lot of friends that drive Buicks. And the commercial that says, well, that's a Buick, I mean, that's right. I mean, yeah. You look at them and you get inside, you can't believe that they really are good old-fashioned Buicks.
Yeah, the Enclave's a beautiful car. What are you driving, though? You got this new, brand-new GMC truck, though. It's beautiful.
I have a Denali, and I have to tell you, last night I had some friends over, and it was literally about 12:30 when they left, and they were outside with flashlights looking at my car. I had to get the keys, open the car. I mean, then it was hilarious. So it is a beautiful car.
All right, that's all. Why wasn't I invited last night?
It was too late for you. You pulled past your bedtime.
I was up.
Next
Gateway
time.
Buick GMC. They're also home of the lifetime warranty. Again, located in Hazelwood. www.stlouisbuickgmc.com. Dr. Rick Lehman's over there. I'm Andy Strickland. We're live on 590 The Fan. This is Sports Medicine.